Be careful what you hear. Proverbs 19 and verse number 27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious living Word of God. We thank you, Father, at the miracle of its preservation, that thou hast given us thy word. And Father, we have come and taken comfort, and we have taken our stand, for we believe everything declared in the Bible concerning itself, that indeed it is the very word of God, and that it is absolute truth, and God, that it comes from you who knows all things, the Creator, the Author, the Savior, the Giver of life. Father, teach us and instruct us now that, Lord, we might be mindful of the world we live in. And, Father, that we are passing through. And, Lord, Thou hast given us the way, the truth, and the life we have found in Jesus Christ. Help us now, Father. Lord, bless us, we pray. Prepare our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I are oftentimes filled with opinions and philosophies of life, certain ideologies or goals. Most of that is formulated by influences. We are far more influenced than we probably would confess. But the influences of people around you throughout your life you have kind of taken some in and thrown some out and kept some and discarded others. But you and I, a lot of what we think, a lot of our opinions, a lot of our philosophies of life have come from influences. And chiefly from what we hear. I guess the reason why so much is from what we hear is because we recognize that most of us are limited on our own personal observations. There are things I haven't seen that others have. There are people who have been all over the world. There are people who have seen all kinds of things, seen things extraordinary. They've seen things in laboratories. They've seen things in distant places. They see things in other cultures. And I haven't seen those things, but I have listened to those who have. And so I think it comes natural that we have formulated so much of our opinion and ideas based more on hearing than anything else because of our own limitations. In our own personal experiences and observations and discoveries, we have relied upon others. And so we see people who have become experts in fields. We see people who have dedicated their lives to certain areas of discovery. And we gain information and we share facts all the time. Jonathan said something about himself the other day. He said that he was a master of trivial knowledge. He's always sharing things about the things that are just unknown. What was the one you shared? He shared the other night. I can't remember when he shared that. Was it the sea turtle? How far the sea turtle goes or something like that? 20 miles a day or something like that. He has an encyclopedia of trivial knowledge. But that was not his observation or his discovery. That was what he was told. And so a lot of our life is that way. We pick up on things. We listen to people. We hear their experiences, their observations. We take all that in, begin to formulate different opinions and ideas and concepts and philosophies that come from others. And so in light of that, we need to be very careful what we hear. That we need to consider some things because these influences are very powerful. And we find that there are many influences in the world that are powerful. And they come, listen, with the spirit of the world and are worldly people. And the world will adorn them with honor and authority and credibility and popularity because of their expertise. And so, as you and I consider that, it certainly ought to, in the life of the Christian, in the true Bible believer, it ought to awaken us, and we ought to always kind of have a red flag up when we listen to the many, many voices and authorities around us. We find today that the influences come with many things that give them a platform. There is a platform given to people who have great wealth. I don't know why that automatically makes them smarter than everyone, but it gives them a platform. The famous are given a platform. I never figured out, because a man is good at an athletic sport or he's good at pretending to be someone he's not as an actor, I don't know why that qualifies him to have a platform to speak on life and social and political issues. Amen. Never have figured that out. But it gives him a platform. And we find, musical celebrities, film stars, and even the news media, that they have those individuals that are given honor and credibility and popularity, and they're given a platform to speak for us about life. And could we honestly confess today that because of those things, they're given much attention? Isn't it amazing that some people have a great platform and a great following when the truth is they have wicked and immoral lives? Some of them are as dumb as dirt, and yet they have thousands of followers. And we have the concept of the reality presentation, the reality shows and various things where, and we have Twitter where people follow people's lives and breathe on their every word. And the truth is, we have Facebook where we get the details of a person's life down to the nth degree. Sister so-and-so sneezed at Walmart, and we're all informed. And so we're living in the days of too much information. And the people, listen, are given too much of a platform to speak about such powerful subjects. And so we look today, and we're reminded here of the Scripture that we are given here a word to the wise. The proverb here says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." He is reflecting on the fact that the true knowledge is that which comes from the Word of God, because God knows everything. God makes no mistakes. God is right on every subject that He speaks of. And so that is the standard of truth. That is the standard by which all knowledge is judged. That should be the standard by which, all application is made concerning life and all of its discoveries. We're living today in the celebration of the human spirit, and it's become the popular, predominant theme of our pop culture. That is not by mistake. Pop culture, pop music, all types of entertainment are following a theme today. If you have a discerning ear, you'll pick up on it. You take the popular shows, you take all forms of entertainment, you take the music industry, and the theme is the pride of life. I will share some of the thoughts with you that become the themes and the very words and the expressions of our popular culture. I am the greatest. I will overcome. I am the champion. I will not be defeated. I am the best. I am the greatest. I am the strongest. I can survive. I will overcome. That is the predominant theme of our popular culture. And you know what it is? It is faith in man or faith in oneself. You can be. Listen, you can do it. You can overcome. You can be champion. You can be great. It is the opposite of the Bible that teaches us that we're hell-deserving sinners and that we're to put our faith in Christ. And listen, the truth is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, that the only hope of glory is Christ in you, that I am nothing apart from God. I am nothing apart from the grace of God. I could do nothing apart from His power. I am hopeless and helpless without God's mercy and God's love and God's grace. I am lost forever without the precious blood of Christ. That is the theme of Holy Scripture. It is have faith in God and put your faith in Christ. And so the world certainly has followed and given a different message. And so, as you and I consider that, we are to be wise. We're to be wise as we discern the influence of the culture we're living in. And in that, we are to have a certain measure of discretion, and we are often to take with a grain of salt some of the world's honored authorities. And we are to be careful that we formulate our opinions based on what God hath said. I'm not saying that all information is to be discarded. I'm not saying that all information, listen, is not to be trusted. But I am saying that we are to be wise concerning the world we live in. I had a person call about accreditation of the school, and I told them that accreditation is impossible for a Christian school because accreditation with the state is not a matter of quality of education, it's the conformity of education. That to be accredited, you had to kick God out of your school, basically. And if you include God of the Bible, you could not receive any accreditation, no matter how bright and brilliant your student body. That's immaterial. And so the world puts its accolades and puts its honor upon those who will adopt and adorn the spirit of the world. The world loves its own. Okay? And the world hates us. So they're not going to pin badges on you, give any sense of honor, credibility. When you love Christ, when you believe the Bible, stand forth. You will be shamed, you will be mocked, and you will be discredited. And so that's the world we're living in today. The majority opinion is favored by the world as a confirmation of truth. That is, if most people believe that, then that gives a credibility to it. However, as I read through the Word of God, I find that those who possess the truth, who held the truth and honored the truth and lived the truth have always been the minority of people. And so, we find here that in our world, the majority have given themselves over to humanism. That is the majority belief today of our society. There are two fundamental foundations in our interpretation of life, and we need to discern them. As you and I have to live in this culture, as we are under its mighty influences, we have to be very discerning because it really stems from two different views. There is the worldview. Rather than giving you a long definition, explanation of the worldview, let me just sum it down. The worldview is based on the fact that there is no God. At least, not the God of the Bible. The Bible view, of course, is that God created all things. Those two fundamentals become the basis for that which represents a knowledge given to the world and the interpretation of life. When a scientist makes a discovery, he has to make an application. What is the application? What is the intent? What is the meaning? How is, do we explain that? He has to begin with something he presupposes. The Christian scientist believes and knows that God created all things. And so he makes application based on the fact that God is the author and the creator of it, and that God has revealed himself. And so he puts it in that context. However, the ungodly, the realm of science that denies the existence of God, has to interpret things and explain things and apply things as if there is no God. Could I tell you there is a powerful broad spectrum between those who are men of science, who are saved and born again, and men of science who are unbelievers? If you don't think you're influenced, do a study and you'll find out that practically every true Christian scientist in America today believes our world is between 10 and 25,000 years old. That's it. Evolutionary science is in the billions of years. That's a pretty big span. That's a pretty big span. Why? Because when you take away the miracle power of God and you leave an explanation of what took place, you have to add some natural explanation. And listen, you take away the power and the effect of the flood, and you've got to add a couple of million years to explain it. And so the influence of the world, the majority of Christians, the majority of Christians have fallen prey to the evolutionary scientists and believing the philosophies and the precepts that it teaches because of the influence. Not knowing it, not realizing it, but the power of that influence. And there are so many, many things that we could present to show you the broad contrast between what those brilliant men who know the Lord Jesus Christ and those who deny Him, and they're as far apart as the North and South Pole. Now, when you and I consider that, Proverbs 19:27, we are warned about entertaining the secular voices of influence with great caution. To the intent, that is, he says, to err from the words of knowledge. When we discovered that they err from the words of knowledge, what is his word in our relationship to hearing them? It's the first word. What is it? Cease. Thank you. What does that mean? Stop. That is, once that influence, once that voice, once that authority, once those instructions clearly, are against, contrary to what God says, the Bible says, then stop listening. Just stop listening. Now, as you and I consider this, why do we stop listening? He says, because we err. We are making a serious error in judgment. We are affecting our ability to live for God and glorify Him and know the fullness of life that God intends. Listen, we are being harmed, we're being injured, we are failing because of the influence of those who are teaching contrary to what God has revealed. Now, the aged church wonders why we have lost so much of our children. I believe one of the principles that would diagnose this problem is that most of our children were raised in the era where we let the secularists teach them in a world of unbelief. Now that's painful, but let's just go ahead and swallow it. We send them every day and pack their little lunch and kiss them on the cheek, and we let the ungodly unbelievers develop their thinking. And they were taught over a period of time, the spirit of humanism. And they were instructed in ways contrary to what the Word of God teaches. And we wonder why we struggle with them in the matter of faith in God. And so we are to be aware. We're to be warned. In Psalm 1, you know the verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, what? Of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so to the Christian here, we're instructed to be wise. Be wise in discerning voices of influence in the world. Whether it be the classroom, or the newsroom, or the science room, or the medical room. Listen, whether it be in the entertainment room, the break room, or the living room. We are to be very careful about the influence of voices that come. We're to be very discerning because we have to be wise about some things. I'll give you a couple of simple things to be wise about. As you and I relate to this world, we relate to the powerful influences. And we are desiring to have a discerning ear, to be careful what we hear. Be wise about the nature of man. When you and I are discerning about what we hear, and when I hear people speak, when I hear the media speak, when I hear the news, the entertainment fields, when I hear educators and philosophers, when I hear them, the first thing I'm reminded of is I am to be wise about the nature of man. What is the nature of man? He's a fallen creature. He has that propensity for sin. He is fleshly, he is selfish, and he has carnal appetites, the lust of the flesh. That is something I'm aware about myself, and I'm aware of it in my fellow man. And we need to be aware of it. We know the nature of man is to sin and then to justify, to excuse, and permit it. That's the nature of man. You tried those very things the first time you were a little toddler and you got caught. What'd you do? Well, listen, you denied it, and then you tried to justify it, and then you tried to excuse it. Somebody else's fault. I didn't mean to. It was just there. One of my favorite in the Bible, up came up this calf. Took the gold and silver, you know, and just up came up the calf. Isn't that amazing? When they made the golden calf, we throw gold and silver together, and all of a sudden this calf just came out. As if nobody formulated it. Listen, that's the nature of man. Something I know about myself, I know about you, I know about the world I live in, is I know something about the nature of man. Listen, he likes sin, and he's going to do everything he can to justify it, excuse it, and permit it. That's a cardinal doctrine in the spirit of the world. And so as I embrace the culture, as I am under the power of those influences, when I hear those voices, I come to it understanding that is something I know about everybody in this world. And so we have to be careful, be wise, because we understand that. We know the words of the apostle when he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not." And so when I listen to the culture, when I listen to the broadcaster, when I hear the platforms given to the entertainment, the actors, what I know about them? Listen, they have a propensity to sin and they want to excuse it and justify it and permit it. That's a cardinal doctrine for what they believe. That's one of the main activities. And so I'm to be aware of that. Then secondly, I'm to be wise about the nature of the world I live in. The world is simply a product of all men together. And the Bible said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And so I understand the world I'm living in. That man who stands up, listen, with all those degrees, has all this authority, he's given a great platform. You know what I know about him? He's a sinner that needs to be saved. Okay? Now listen, I don't care how what he's achieved, what works he's done, how brilliant he's been. I don't care what he's accomplished. Listen, I don't care how many buildings he's built. I don't care, listen, how much money he's amassed. I don't care, listen, all of his various theories. I don't care of his inventions. Listen, I understand something about him. In the context of the Word of God, I understand that he's a sinner that needs to be saved. I understand, listen, that he has the nature, that fallen nature that all men have. I know this, that if he's not a Christian, then he follows the spirit of the world in principle. That he has a world view. The Bible said, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. I'll tell you, that's pretty precise. Paul said, if any man be seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. He goes on to say, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And so I understand, I have a red flag, I have a caution, I have a discernment. We are to have a discernment about all these influences around us, that we understand the nature of man, we understand the spirit of the world that we're living in. And so, as I hear these authorities, when I hear the news broadcasters, I hear their interpretation, of their observations and their discoveries. I know how they're going to lean. Right? I know where they lean. I know what the motivation is. I understand some things. Listen, about their philosophy and what they want and what they're desiring. Because I know the natural man. I know the spirit of the world. And so we should not be caught off guard. The Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works. That is, their masters at disguise, bait and switch. That is, it may appear to be very filled with social goodness. But I know there's something deeper than that. I know that facts that have been supposedly obtained, that discoveries that have been qualified as being factual, I know that when man gets them, he will use them for ulterior motives. Do you understand that? A man will take a simple, basic fact of knowledge and he will use it for the spirit of the world. He will interpret it. He will twist it because of what he seeks. And that's very important that we're wise in that. And many, listen, are being led as lambs to the slaughter. You know why? Because they're fooled by the seeming sincerity that individuals have in order to bring them a greater quality of life. Isn't it a blessing how much authorities and our political leaders just love us? Isn't it amazing? I hear some of those speeches and I just want to go up and give them a big hug. I know you don't know me, but I tell you what, you love me almost as good as my mama after listening to what you have promised and what you said you're going to do. I'm not saying that we go through, listen, with a bitter spirit and we go through censoring every person, condemning every person that stands up and has an audience, but I'm saying we ought to be careful. Amen. We're to be wise. Why? Because I know what's in man. And I know what the spirit of the world is. Listen, I know that many commentators and many political spokesmen and many people who have platforms, they find great fault in accusing people who are always finding conspiracies in everything. Could I tell you that in light of the Scripture, there is a conspiracy in this world? Amen. It is called the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible said in 1 John, it's already in the world. there is a motivation, there is a goal, there is an ambition, there is something that's being sought that infiltrates every element of our society, and it will bring about, listen, the call and the cry and the faith in the beast that will come. And listen, that spirit is already working in this world. That spirit has infused itself, listen, with the nature of man to bring about an accomplishment. There is something they're trying to do. Right. One thing about the ability of the spirit is the spirit goes beyond boundaries and that it finds itself. No wonder Jesus came and taught us concerning the nature of sin. He described it in this fashion as leaven, yeast. What happens when you put it in a loaf? It spreads through every fiber of it. Jesus identified, and the Scriptures also used as a type of sin, leprosy. What does it do? It spreads everywhere there's contact. That's the nature of it. It infiltrates every part of society. Could I tell you that you and I, as we live in this world, I understand. I am wise. I am alert. My eyes are open. I know that there is a spirit in this world. I know that infiltrates every aspect of the world society. Listen, from the kindergarten class to the White House, listen, there is an infiltration of this spirit that is moving toward a design, toward a goal, toward an accomplishment, and it's in our society, and we are to be wise to it as we receive information. And so, we are certainly pressed here with the truth of the book of Proverbs, the foundation of foolishness. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. Could I tell you that many a dignified authority in all fields of human life have taken that position. And yet they have become the great heroes of our education. They become, listen, the great saviors of our life, of our society. They have come to rescue us, to help us, to deliver society, to bring about a greater utopia in our world. And you know what the Bible says? They're fools. I don't care how brilliant a man may be in his field. If he doesn't believe in God, I remember what the Bible says about him. The Bible calls him a fool. And therefore, with reservation and caution, I will acknowledge, listen, of the corruption that runs through his mind and all of his ideas because he himself does not even believe that God created the world. Let me give you a couple more things quickly. As you and I consider the world, as we stop and recognize the warning of Proverbs that we're to be wise, cease not to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. I'm to be wise about the proclamation of Scripture. What does the Bible say of itself? Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It goes on to say that we might be truly furnished unto all good works. Listen, the Bible proclaims for us the truth, the absolute truth, that this Word of God is the miracle preservation of the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And therefore, I understand that the Word of God is the authority and that it is the truth. And so, therefore, every information I receive must be applied to the standard. If it's contrary to this book, I'm going to throw it out. You know what's so sad today? There's so many failures in the context of our human society because we rejected the principles God has taught us and we have listened to the world and the world says, don't do it. And we threw it out. And we wonder why we have suffered so severely the dysfunction we have in our family units and societies in America. Because Dr. Spock told us something, and we threw out what the Holy Spirit told us in his favor, and we are suffering the consequences of it. We've let the world bully us and shame us and mock us until we no longer follow the principles that God has given us, the principles that structure and define what is life and what is happiness and what is joy and what is right, what is correct. We've simply thrown it out because of the influence of the world. We understand not only the great, be wise about the proclamation of Scripture. Let me give you another one. Be wise about the prophecy of Scripture. The Bible reminds us in Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." Everything God has prophesied shall be fulfilled. We know in the last days described for us how that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. The Bible tells us in the last time that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their hearts from truth and shall be turned unto fables. We are wise. We are understanding how that God has told us beforehand the things that will transpire. God has written, preserved for us the future history of the world, the end of things, and the victories and the losses, that which will be rewarded, that which will be cursed. We have seen that which is in heaven, that which is in hell. We've seen the victory and we've seen the defeat. And God has prophesied and told us all these things. Therefore, we're to be wise about the prophecies of Scripture. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. Matters not the mockery of the foolish. And so how foolish to formulate opinions from those who deny the reality of God. Be wise in understanding that there is this great conspiracy contrary to the teaching of the Word of God, and it's called Antichrist. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that we are to test the spirits. And we are to have a discerning heart. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come and even already is in the world. And so what I'm telling you tonight is be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be wise and discerning. And listen, I don't care all the authorities, the praise, the accolades, and all of the progress and works a man may seemingly accomplish. If his teaching causes you to turn or err from the Scriptures, the Bible says to cease. That is, cut him off and stop it entirely. And so you and I, be wise. Be wise. We know what is in man. We know what's in this world. Be wise. When you get information from the world, you know to be very discerning. Because we understand it. We're not in darkness. We know. We know what's happening. We know what will happen. We know there's a goal, and it has infiltrated every aspect of our society. We know there's a great campaign. There is a great conspiracy. It's leading to something, and we can see it. It's coming to pass and before our very eyes in the life we're living. And so, you and I, when we formulate opinions, when we stop and address life with ideals and philosophies, we need to be careful. Be careful about the influences of the world. And make sure, listen, that you and I have not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, but we have heeded carefully, thus saith the Lord. For this book is truth. And everything it says will come to pass, will come to pass. Exactly as God has said. And every time we violate the Word of God, it will cost us. It will cost us. And listen, we will face it one day. We'll bow before Jesus Christ. And in John 1, what did the Bible call Jesus? The Word. One day, we bow before Jesus. You know what we're doing? We're bowing before the Word of God. You know what we're confessing? Everything you said was true and right. And listen, we will have reward when we obeyed it, believed it. We'll have loss when we didn't. But we'll all bow before the Word of God. It was true. It is true. It shall be true. And so be careful, little ears, what you hear.